I'd like you to turn with me, first of all, to the book of Exodus, chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. Verse number 10. Exodus 25 and verse number 10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. 2 staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubim of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the 1 end, and on the other cherub, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shalt ye make the cherubim on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. Thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim which are upon the ark, of the testimony, and of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Now turn please with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now chapter 2, please. Verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse number 8, Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now that's all we need to read, and we know that God always blesses the reading of his precious word. Now, I don't want to say a lot about the Ark of the Covenant. You'll remember, of course, that was one of the, likely the most important piece of furniture in the tabernacle, and a lovely picture, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will remember when the children of Israel went through the wilderness, that the Ark of the Covenant was carried by the Kohathites, sometimes by the priests, but normally by the Kohathites, and the outer covering was a cover of blue. So it really speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the heavenly man. And it's called the Ark of the Testimony. And that's what linked it in my mind with what we have in 2 Timothy. We read there about the testimony of the Lord. Now when those men were carrying that through the wilderness, of course they had to feel the weight of it. They likely didn't know all about the Ark of the Covenant. Actually, the Kohathites, they didn't really see the actual Ark itself. I think we were reminded in the Bible readings that the priests, they covered the furniture and the Kohathites would carry it. And as it went through the wilderness, they would see this lovely cloth of blue. Now you and I are in the wilderness. We're in this wilderness world. And we are all part of a testimony. I wonder, do we really feel the weight of that testimony? Or are we just drifting along through life? It's easy to do that in America, the United States, probably in Canada as well. They talk about going with the flow. And they just want to go along, and it would be very easy to do that. But that's not what God wants. And we've been hearing from our brother, and that was something that brought me to these scriptures, that to be a testimony where you are. It wasn't easy for him. I could have read about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ and so on, but not that much time left. But it's a wonderful thing to be a testimony wherever we are. God has put us all in a certain place. And we were reminded that the best place for me to be is where God has put me. And the best thing for me to be doing is what God has for me to do. But no matter what God has for you or for me to do, we have to be a testimony. Now, my testimony isn't really what I say that may be related to it, but my testimony is what I am. That's so important. We could all be fired up to try and do great things for the Lord. What I do for the Lord is nothing, but what the Lord would do through me or through any of us, that's really the important thing. But first of all, we need to have that life. I have heard younger men encouraging young men to take part in worship and so on, and I would do that as well. But you know, there were certain priests who were disqualified from worshiping, weren't they? From going into the sanctuary. So we have to have a life to back it up. A testimony is what I am. So we ask ourselves, and you ask yourself, what sort of a testimony do I have in the neighborhood where I am? When people look at me, what do they see? Do they see the cloth of blue? You know, when the Lord Jesus came into the world, we read that he went in to the upper regions of Israel, and to those that sat in the region of the shadow of death was a great light sent. And I thought that's the testimony of the Lord. He brought some of the light of heaven into this dark world. And that's why the Lord has put us here, saved us by his grace, that we might be testimonies in this dark world, that we might bring some of the light of heaven into this dark world. And I thought when I read there in 1 Timothy, in verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of me as prisoner. Paul is encouraging Timothy because Paul's part in the great testimony is coming to a close. And you and I aren't going to be here forever if the Lord be not come. Others will follow, and we need to set an example for them, and we need to be able to try to teach them the things of God, teach by our testimony, by what we are, by our example, as well as teach by the Word of God. So, we're not going to be here forever. Moses had to give way to Joshua. Paul gave way to Timothy. That's what he's doing here. And then Timothy, he's going to be taken, and we'll see in a moment, if I don't forget, when we come to the end, to show that it has to be passed on. So first of all, do people realize that we are a heavenly people? Mr. Herb Harris and Albert Joyce, when they first went into Prince Edward Island with the gospel, a story was told that they were going into town, and they asked for a ride of a man that had a horse and some hay and a cart, and he said, oh yeah, jump up and we'll give you a ride into town. So, of course, they do what any gospel preacher would do or any Christian should do. They tried to get the conversation going, and they said, do you know anything about heaven? And the man said, yes. He said, I live there. And he said, no, you don't understand. He said, do you know anything about heaven? He said, yes, I live there. And you know the story. Some seem to know it. They're smiling anyhow. And the man said, yeah, he said, that's where I live. I just come down here, he said, just to pay the expenses while I'm going through. So you see, it should be obvious that we're men and women. The Lord, it said in 2 Timothy, in this testimony, I don't know how much the Kohathites understood about what they were doing as far as the testimony was concerned. The testimony there, of course, was the law that was in the ark. And the Lord Jesus, of course, he kept the law and made it honorable. It was in his heart. Beautiful person, wasn't he, the Lord Jesus? What a privilege it is to represent him. Imagine the Lord coming from the glories of heaven. And we have read about before the world was and so on. And you remember how the Lord himself said he knew that he came from heaven and was going back to heaven in John chapter 13. What a tremendous privilege it is for you and for me to be able to represent this wonderful person down here. Wonder how I'm doing it. We all are a testimony, I would take it, but either a good testimony or maybe not so good testimony. Our testimony is being like him, really. That's the result. That's why God saved you and saved me, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be like him in the future. That's going to be a tremendous day when we see the Lord, and we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But then, you know, there's the admonition that he that hath this hope set on him, let him purify himself even as he is pure. I'm going to be like the Lord. You know, it's going to be a tremendous change. If you knew me, you would realize a tremendous change. But I would hope that the change would be just a little less if I could become more and more like him right now. Just a little bit day by day or week by week. Good to look back, and of course, most of us would have to hang our head in shame, wouldn't we? Well, how are we doing in this testimony? Well, he's the man from heaven. And yet the ark was made of that shittim wood, the indestructible wood of the desert. He became man. He's never going to give up that manhood. Not a tremendous thing that the Lord came into this world so that he would reveal the Father to us. It's not just all about us. Sometimes we seem to be taken up with ourselves and in worship, but it's what he has done for the Father. The glory is brought for the Father. I'm glad I'm just included in that great work. It's going to end up with the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Not just all about you or about me, but it's about what he brought to God. But he had to come in. But of course, he had to be man that he could die on the cross. Has he ever touched your heart? Has he ever touched my heart? There were rings in the ark. The staves were to go in the rings. And you know, the ring, what does it speak? It speaks of, sometimes we say eternity, but it speaks of affection, doesn't it? You give somebody a ring, it means you love them and you marry them. You have give your wife a wedding ring, and some young men wear them. In my day, they didn't do that, so I'm not against it. But you know, it speaks of affection. And the Apostle Paul, when he's speaking to Timothy, Timothy would know, here's a man that really loved the Lord. When Paul spoke of himself being a prisoner in Ephesians chapter 3, isn't it? He said, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, he said, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord for you Gentiles. But I thought, you know, he wasn't saying he was a prisoner of Rome, but he was a prisoner of the Lord. And I look at it this way, his heart was captivated by the Lord. He was his prisoner. Wonder, is that true of you? Is that true of me? If that were true of you and true of me, I think we'd be more involved in this great testimony. Reaching out to others. Tell them the glories and the beauties of the Lord Jesus. That's why we need to get into the Word of God. We're encouraged to do that. And I like these Bible readings from the Gospel of Luke, because they bring the Lord Jesus before us in his perfect manhood. Wouldn't you like to be more like him? Surely that would be the desire of our hearts. We should have that affection for him, that attachment to him, the prisoners of the Lord. You have his deity. goes away beyond. He's the eternal Son of God, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And notice the order is before he made the worlds, he was the heir of all things, so he was the Son. The eternal Son of God. What a beautiful book the book of Hebrews is. A book that begins with God. God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And then you have unfolding these beautiful truths concerning his Son. There were staves, they were to carry it. But God would give them the strength for that. Don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, so that we have the strength for this testimony in a wicked world. The world is trying to do everything to put God out of it, and to put the Lord Jesus Christ out of it. We were talking, and you know, when I went to school, the first period was religious instruction. And even though the teachers, maybe not too many of them were saved, at least we were taught the Word of God. There was less crime in those days. They just don't see it in the world today. What a wonderful thing to have that advantage. And I'm so glad. I wasn't always glad that I was born in a Christian home. But I tell you, the older I get, the more I appreciate being born in a Christian home. And knowing something of the Word of God. When I came into Assembly Fellowship, there was another young man, saved at that time. And you know, the brethren, when we're in a fellowship, they encourage us to take part in the Bible reading. And I tell you, one of the Bible readings, we were talking about Paul being shipwrecked. And then it said they fetched a compass. They made a circuitous route, but I didn't know. I said, well, if you got shipwrecked, you'd probably look for a compass so you wouldn't get shipwrecked again. And they all laughed. You know, it's good to have a sense of humor. They thought I was joking, but it taught me to look at Mr. Darby's new translation before I went to the Bible reading and try and learn a few things. You know, we make mistakes. But my friend, we worked together, and he said, do you know what question I was going to ask in Romans 4? Who's Abraham? Didn't know who Abraham was. But what a privilege it is to be born in a Christian home. But anyhow, to be part of a testimony. I'm glad that I was saved by the grace of God. None of us deserved it. But the Lord came from the glories of heaven. You have the gold, you have the his humanity, his deity, and his humanity. You have the affection and attachment. He has won our hearts. We want to live for him. And now he has given us the strength to do that. And we read in verse number 10, it says, "A manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, brought life and immortality to life, or incorruption to life, through the gospel." My, here's one that conquered death. Think of the future. Think of what lies ahead. Our brother was saying, in danger. So, what's the worst can happen? They can send you home to heaven. I know none of us want to go to heaven right away, probably, but we're all going. Going to be a wonderful thing. There's one. Wouldn't it be great to be a real representative of this man who has conquered death? What a tremendous thing. Nothing like that ever before. But then there's a continuous testimony. That's why I read in the second chapter, "And the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men." He's going to teach others, and then they're going to teach others of a different kind, others also. I wonder, is there something that I can pass on to others? See, the important thing maybe isn't what I'm doing or what God is using me for, but what am I going to leave behind? That's a tremendous thing. We had a friend in the assembly in Ferndale, and he was the assistant chief design engineer for Chrysler Motors. And you know, his superiors, they gave him a form, and they said, "We want you to fill this out." And you know what it said? "Write down all your strong points, and write down your weak points." What would you do there? And then they gave one to the people that worked for him, and they said, "Write down the strong points of your boss and the weak points of your boss, And he did the same for those that were under him. You could do that for others, couldn't you? Easy to write down the weak points of others and, well, what about ourselves? You see, they weren't interested in this man, William Clark. They were interested in what was going to take place when he retired. Who was he going to leave behind? That's the kind of a testimony. David, wasn't it, served God in his own generation. And there are men, mighty men of God, and our brethren will all attest to this, men that we can look up to. They've gone home to heaven, but I'll tell you, they're able to pass something on to us. I know we have all the books, and we can read, and I read, and we try to learn all we can. I need the most help that I can get. But you know, I certainly appreciate the older brethren. Don't despise the older brethren. No, I was 33 when God saved me. So I wasn't just a little child. But I found out I could learn more from the older brethren and sisters than from the younger ones. I'm not saying they're all like that, but generally speaking, great to have something passed down. It's like the relay race, isn't it, here? Like passing the baton down to someone else. Making sure you don't need to change it. Don't need to add to it. You certainly can't take away from it. But just to get into these things, to be able to pass it on. Well, you say, I'm a sister in the assembly. What can I pass on? What about the example? And you can teach younger sisters. The older sisters can teach younger sisters things that maybe they wouldn't accept from somebody like me. So we all have a part in this testimony. You may not think you're very important. And in many ways, none of us are important. It's going to go on without us, but still, the same time, we're in a testimony. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony. It's the testimony about the Lord Jesus. We're all here to represent him and to remember that others are coming behind, to be an example and to pass things to him. And then we read of the day, well, it's when I read about the seed of David, I thought, you know, the Lord's coming back to reign. We're coming with him. We're going to be with him in the kingdom. What kind of a place are we going to have? In the kingdom? I'll just be glad to be there. But you know, I've often thought on the Mount of Transfiguration. You have Moses and Elijah, and they're with the Lord. And if you read the verses that go before the account of the Transfiguration, you read a verse. This verse or something like it. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And I'm applying it this way. Here's two men that are close to the Lord in the kingdom. Why? Well, you can see how Moses gave up the whole world. Rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasure of Egypt. What's reproach? Well, he said it's treasure. We may not think that way, but he said that's treasure. Where is he in the kingdom? He's close to the Lord. What about Elijah? Even though he didn't have it just quite right, he thought he was the only one, and he was the only one on Mount Carmel that stood up for the things of God. Where is he now? I'm applying it, of course. Where will he be in the kingdom? Where will you and I be in the kingdom? Well, you know, if we're like those men of old, those Old Testament prophets, we'd have a place of nearness to the Lord in the kingdom. So what about it now? Ask ourselves a question. How am I as far as the testimony is concerned? And we just leave with those same words. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. The day is coming. He's rejected now and we're associated with a rejected Christ. But there's a day coming when we're going to reign with him. May the Lord help us to be more like him and to be greater testimonies to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.